environmental, traffic, and community impact studies, and historical and cultural resource assessment, which the applicant shall conduct and provide, and the applicant's willing commitment to community benefits and to minimizing negative impacts to the community from the data center use and data center project. That's where I put it. So I didn't put it in, I mean, it sort of makes it, I guess, an extra, but if it's going to be in 407, it's just there saying, okay, we're going to incorporate it into our decision about whether to increase their lot coverage from 25% to 65%. If they're only covering 25%, we don't have as much to be worried about as we do when they're doing 65%.
It covers all three of those.
Yeah, I thought it covered everything that the county was looking for. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, it covers all three of those.
So that was probably the biggest change that I put in. And then
you're putting that in the data center ordinance.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And then what I did for this is 42710G enforcement. I also put where it says who's going to cure the problem. We had data center owner, data center operator, I added, and data center property owner, because they may not be the same. I took out in 42711 financial security at the end, where we were saying it would be paid, if there was a third one chosen, it would be paid equally by the township and the data center operator. I took out equally by the township and just by the data center operator. In penalties, where we had not less than $300, not more than $1,000 per day, which we talked about at the last meeting, was that way because that's the MPC's language. I changed it to say at the maximum amount allowed by law instead, so that if there is an update to the law, we don't have to have a change to the ordinance to be able to go to the higher amount.
Makes sense.
And there too, I put that it shall be paid by the property owner. All costs and attorney's fees shall be paid by the property owner for the penalties. Because what you're talking about there is in the instance of, for example, it was, it went belly up, it's not there anymore, and it wasn't taken down in a timely fashion, or they didn't follow the ordinance in some other way. Ultimately, it's got to be the property owner, I think, that we are holding responsible, and then they'll have to hold responsible anyone else that they think is at issue. Those, I think, and I can scroll back through here and make sure that there wasn't anything else, but those were...
Did you address their comment about detailing the conditional use process?
No. That comment said it was optional, and I thought that would be something that would be a little bit more oriented to the main ordinance than it would be to this process, other than the fact that the conditional use includes those two aspects of, you know, the increasing the lot coverage is a conditional use under our ordinance as it is. So that would be part of the conditional use process.
I think we can get rid of the second and, right? And, like on page 14, we have data center owner and data center operator and data center property owner. That's the minor thing.
I left them that way so that none of them gets out of it.
Right.
If they've done something that we are having to take them to court over, I don't want any of them. Because what you're going to end up having is, in that kind of instance, somebody went bankrupt. And you want to be able to go after all the pockets.
Yeah.
Not just one pocket and, well, whoops, too bad, that's the one that went bankrupt.
Leave them all in there.
I see two ands side by side. That's what
Okay. Two ands side by side.
Yeah, and data center, maybe that should be a comma. That's a minor thing. Data center owner, comma, data center owner, and data center property owner. or maybe...
Data center owner and data center operator and data center property owner. Yeah, it doesn't show that way on my screen.
Page 14.
I'm looking at it. It doesn't say that.
Page 14?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, G. You're looking at G, right?
Right. Data center owner and data center operator and data center property owner.
Right.
So you're keeping both ends?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Because we're keeping everybody on the hook.
Keeping everybody on it.
Everybody's on the hook. And then in 427.11, like I said, I took out irrevocable letter of credit as an option because they can call it irrevocable all they want. It expires, so that doesn't really help us.
Do you say it needs to be bonded?
Yeah, the other two items that the MPC allows are bond or escrow account. Well, so the only part I took out was their irrevocable line of letter of credit.
Yes. And bonds are pretty useless as well. If the insurance company goes for it, I guess Dingham Township will go
for. Yeah. But at least it's a second entity. But it still has to be acceptable to the board. Which was Tony's argument about not getting rid of the letter of credit.
Why shouldn't it say only escrow?
I don't know if anybody's going to put up that kind of money, though. Those would be high dollars.
Serious.
Yeah, those are serious money. And so, I mean, that's why they're mostly bonded. I don't disagree. Insurance companies can go belly up, but...
It's a second entity that would essentially have to go belly up, which is what happened in Dingman. First, you have the company go belly up, and then you have the bonding entity go belly up, and then, you know. Those were the changes that I suggested. They're all redlined and strike-throughs, so they're easy to get back to the county. And we could go to advertisement and hearing, I would think, with that one missing piece of the ordinance adopting the map.
Yep.
Now, that map is then going to have to be every person in the overlay zone has to get notified that their zoning is being changed, which is a massive undertaking.
I think the MPC states that the map has to be posted somewhere. If the ordinance incorporates a map change, then it has to be posted.
Yeah, the property has to be posted, the property owner has to be notified, right? That's why we had such a big problem the last time.
The map has to be available, and that can be available here. Right.
It would, to me, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea to have the map ID numbers when we're doing something like this, but at this point, we need to just get it done. And that would be a major project that we don't really have manpower to do, so right about now. But this one is a little bit tricky in that the electronic version of the map, when I bring it up on my screen, is a little difficult to see which parts are the overlay and which isn't. In the printed copy that we have, it's really easy to tell which ones are supposed to be in the overlay. But on the digital copy, which I think is what went to Mike, it might be a little hard to tell the difference. And it might be worth making sure that he has the printed copy of the map as well when we're resending everything to him.
County has more money than we tell him for him, so.
It's not that, though. If you're printing the poor quality scan, you're still going to get...
I thought the county, wasn't the guy at the county is the one that made the map, right?
That map you're talking about?
Yeah, well, the modified map. It's the gentleman at the county.
Oh, I thought you made the overlay.
No, Bob had taken it to the county, and he had created the map.
Okay.
I had graphically done it, you know, using Adobe, but then he took it to the the guy that created the actual original map.
Okay.
So that was and then sent back to us. So no, I'm not in possession of the official map. It was I have a PDF, which was the gentleman at the county. I don't know his name, but he created.
I think it was Jessica at the county, Jessica Yoder.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
At the county did the map.
She did the map.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that it was Brian because it's not there anymore.
I was going to say Brian's not there.
Yeah.
No,
I think it was Jessica Yoder.
I had done a PDF modification, but then we had it added to the official map, whoever possesses that file.
With Tony not being here today, it makes it more difficult for us to, I would think, to advertise it because the timing of how, when it has to be posted, all of that is a little difficult, but he's also not going to be here at the next meeting as well. I did bring
the advertising guide. Well, he chooses not to be here, and he chooses not to send someone in his stead to represent his business, so I think you need to proceed without it.
Official map amendments. The township must submit its proposed map and accompanying ordinance to the Township Planning Commission, which you've already done. The recommendations of the Planning Commission must be made. Blah, blah, blah. Board of Supervisors must hold at least one public hearing pursuant to public notice and must advertise its intent to adopt the official map or amendment before voting on it. Following the adoption, the township must submit the map to the recorder of deeds. So the public, it just says it has to have a public hearing.
Right, but that shouldn't that map, as being that it's part of the ordinance, be part of the same hearing?
Yeah, we can have the hearing at the same time, on the same day.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of it, is for this overlay.
Shouldn't we state something about the small parcels? Like 5-acre parcels cannot provide 65% lot coverage with 100-foot setback. Five acres or 6 acres, they cannot provide 60. Like if we do 100 feet on all sides, then 5 acres will have only 32% left.
I think that we would be less concerned, and I think any engineer is going to go up. That's why it says up to 65. They can, basically, they can go as far as the ordinance will allow them, or they can get permission to do. But if they can't get that far, they have two options. They can file for a variance, right, saying they don't have enough because of the features of the property. Poor me, please offer us a variance. And if there are extenuating reasons other than just they'd like the building to be bigger, then that works. But, you know, I could see an example where you're taking an existing building, you're putting a small Bitcoin mining operation in an existing office building, and it happens to be already bigger, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that I could see being a variance issue. But otherwise, they're just going to get as far as the ordinance will let them go. And if it's not 65, then it's not 65.
Then they will move to the zoning hearing board and they will approve the lowering the setback?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not if it's just for, not if it's just for, not if it's just for you know, their own reasons that they're looking for it. It's not a hardship. You can't create your own hardship.
No.
Yeah.
Just because you want the building to be bigger.
Right.
See, where if we, the second meeting of August, they'll both be back, but that's the first meeting that they'd both be back. The first meeting in September is an off date because of the holiday, but Tony said he could attend them at that date. Do you want to try to set a hearing and advertise and send it back to the county with these changes? What's your pleasure?
I think we should.
And that'll give us more than the 30 days.
If I can chime in here, I think one thing to think about is the community benefit analysis, which I think, Rachel, you had added in.
What I added was... language that says that in considering whether to increase the size, the board would consider the... community benefits being provided by the project, not necessarily the willingness to enter into a separate agreement, but the commitment of the project to provide community benefits and to minimize negative impacts to the community.
Okay, so it's not requiring a community benefit analysis.
Correct.
Okay. So I would think it sounds to me, I know that Tony had an issue with that legally requirement of community benefits analysis. I know that I had suggested that there's no authority for the township to require a community benefits analysis. So I would think that... So Tony might want to chime in on the language that's in the ordinance now that you added in as to whether or not he thinks that would put you in any kind of legal jeopardy.
So let me read.
Again, if he's not here tonight, then he won't be at the next meeting. So I don't know how you want to handle that.
So the exact language that I added regarding that says, and the applicant's willing commitment to community benefits and to minimizing negative impacts to the community from the data center use and data center project. So it's not necessarily requiring them to do a separate document or requiring them to any specific benefits, but for example, where we're saying the fire department needs equipment and we're strongly encouraging them to provide the equipment. Well, when we're deciding whether to give them 25% of the property or 65% of the property, we're going to consider whether they're willingly going to commit to that community benefit or, you know, to minimizing that negative impact vis-a-vis the traffic light maintenance or, you know, whatever it is that is an impact. So I didn't write it for an extra agreement that we need a definition for and a description of. I left it rather broad, but put it in there that we would consider that as a factor. Not to say we would reject an application, but to say when we're deciding whether to go 25%, 45%, 65%, we would consider that factor. What do you think?
Okay.
I agree with Jill.
The worst that happens is we end up postponing a hearing. Right? If we look at the second meeting of September, we're pretty far out there. I don't know what our advertising...
Yeah.
Do we have to be within so many days of the hearing, or we just have to be outside of it?
For me, September is until the 8th.
So you do the first meeting?
Yeah.
No, it's not the 8th. It's the 9th.
So Nancy, you're saying you don't agree with the language?
No, remember, we changed any meeting set right bonds.
I think it's really a legal call. I think sometimes if it leaves it to the discretion of the board, if it's too much discretion in the case of the board deciding whether or not to grant an applicant, you know, 65% versus 25%. I think the courts can sometimes look unfavorably on that. But again, I would want Tony to weigh in on that, being the solicitor.
Well, he'll be back before the second meeting in August. But he won't be here for the first meeting in August.
No.
Okay.
I'd make a motion that we send the revised language back to the county along with an ordinance to adopt the map, which, John, if you would be so kind as to put that together as soon as possible, and to schedule the hearing for September 9th at 7:15 p.m. and advertise it at the appropriate...
You said the 9th of September?
Yes.
The 9th of September. Our meeting is on Wednesday because of the holiday.
Got it. Okay.
And that allowed Tony to participate because the Tuesday meetings were problematic for him. And to advertise it as soon as possible.
I'll second that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So passed.
Should I advertise it as soon as possible, or doesn't it have to be in like 30-day and 7-day time period?
This one is a curative amendment ordinance. You could call Tony's office tomorrow and clarify, but I think given it's a curative amendment, advertising it, if we need to advertise it 3 times so that we're advertising it now and also advertising it the twice within the time frame, we could do that.
Yes.
But then we have the coverage of having made the announcement that we're making this change, because that can be important.
Next one.
407.
Yes.
I don't know how much of an appetite you have to get into the nitty-gritty of this. Some of the things that were in this, I was a little bit surprised by. Because Milford Township usually takes a light approach to telling people what to do at their residence. And this has prohibitions on residential lighting. My own flickering tiki torch lights would not meet with this ordinance the way that it's written.
I don't believe that the intent in 407 at all was to get to where you're prohibiting anything with residential.
Well, residential properties is specifically named,
right,
which I think is as simple as striking the word residential, and if we can fix it.
I think it's that simple, and you fix it, yes.
Okay, so that would be... Nancy, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
In 407.7, lighting and glare. In number one, applicability and exemptions, we would strike the word residential. In B, prohibitions, number one, we would strike the word residential. And I think that also takes care of, I mean, some of these, you don't want to have...
It was the intent to not affect residential properties with this ordinance. Is that correct, Nancy?
That's correct. I mean, so it depends. If you get complaints from residences that there's light, you know, their neighbor's lighting is bothering them, then you would want it in there. If you don't get those sorts of complaints or you don't want to regulate residential lighting, then we would take the word residential out.
Well, the intent of lighting in any of it is that if you encroach on your neighbor, you've got an issue anyway.
This goes so far as to...
Right, so if you have two neighboring residential properties and one neighbor is shining a floodlight into their neighbor's yard or house, and that neighbor complains, if it's not in your ordinance, then you have no grounds to enforce it.
This entire section...
So if you want to be able to enforce it, then...
This entire section is supposed to be for commercial? I would think if we wanted to get into that sort of thing, it should be in the saldo. But I also don't think that Milford Township wants to take the approach of limiting when people can have flickering lights in their yard or flashing lights for the holidays such that you wouldn't be able to put them on for the 4th of July and you'd have to have them turned off by the 10th of January and other. I think that just sort of goes a little too far. It's like a homeowners association that many people complain about.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's, again, that's, you know, depends on how restrictive the township wants to be. And if Milford Township does not want to do that, then you strike the word residential out of that section.
Okay.
You know, that's fine. It's completely up to how the township wants to operate.
So on... that same section on the glare and the lighting, F1, recreational uses shall not be permitted to be artificially illuminated. What does that mean? Because I kind of thought all the lights that aren't sunlight are artificial.
I think it goes on to explain what that is and clarify that, perhaps. I know there are restrictions on like the height of the light for different types of playing fields and so forth.
Yeah, that's in the portion with the athletic fields, right?
Yeah, this specifically says recreational uses such as golf driving ranges that necessitate the horizontal or near horizontal aiming of light fixtures and projection of illumination shall not be permitted to be artificially illuminated. That is the end of the paragraph and the section. Then it goes into recreational facilities located within a residential district, where the lights have to be turned off by 10 p.m. And sporting events where they have to be turned off by 10 p.m.
Right, okay, so for the golf driving ranges, horizontally illuminated, meaning lights that just shine straight out horizontally, are not permitted. So...
Okay, so it's the point is that we're prohibiting horizontal.
Right.
So that forces them to illuminate around the perimeter into the center.
So they're not shining their lights at other people. All right, compliance monitoring, letter W. If the infraction so warrants, the township may act to have the problem corrected, as in subsection W1B above, which says the township may exercise the remedies as provided.